Amen. You guys can have your seats. I sense that the heavens are open. That's why it's just pushing us to worship Him. Are you good? Are you guys here? Or are you at home? Okay. Let me just see where to start. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 8. Seventhly, the calling of God. Every person here has a call of God. But listen, I'm going to explain to you now how it works. Isaiah is saying, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Next verse. And he said, and God said, go tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. There are people that they can see and they can look, but they don't have perception. Are you guys with me? Jesus said, you had ears but you cannot hear. Okay, go with me to verse 8 again. And he said, go. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Listen, say with me the call of God. Let me go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And as I say, when I come here, I don't really prepare. I just go what I hear from heaven. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Say with me, let me just read you. I'm looking for the right translation. No. Put me on the King James Version. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious, was rare. Say with me, rare. It means that when, listen, we are at a time when you have two dispensational. You have a former glory and a latter glory. You have those, you'll see last year many ministers began to pass away. When there's a former glory and a latter glory being birthed, the word of the Lord is rare, but you will see what happens. He says, the word of the Lord was read in those days. There was no open vision. Say with me, open vision. Those of you that are in our church know, I told you we have open vision. You get a closed vision and you get an inner vision. There are different dimensions and levels of visions. Open vision is a vision that you stand like this and you just see, but you can still see people. Closed vision is when you are taken out of this reality and you see something like a trance. And an inner vision is what you see on the inside of you. But it says, there was no open vision. Say with me, no open vision. And let me just get you, listen here. With the calling of God, there are two callings as we proceed, as you get trained up in God. The one is, we are called to serve someone. Then secondly, we go from that, to go from there and we become what God has called us to be. And we go plan to work or a ministry or a business office. You stay in the church and so on. But I'm speaking now of prophetic in the ministry. You have one calling where we are called to be and serve somebody, staying in a church. And then when the time is right, when the time of serving is over, let me not say over, but serving will always be there. But then we get promoted where God now puts you into an office. Like, for example, I served Pastor Mark, my spiritual father, for 10 years. And we went out into the ministry, and only 3 years after I went out of the ministry, did God come to me and say, plant the church. That was not a good thought. That came by an angel. Which means that right now with our ministry, we are operating in our office. That is it. Okay? And then we'll grow from here. But this is where people make a mistake. When you are in the first calling, when you are still at the time of serving someone, you are in a church, you're serving a church, there's no open vision or closed vision for you. I'm going to say it again. When people get super spiritual and flaky, and when they you know, they just, I don't know, there's something, they just have one small little encounter with God, and then they think, I have all these open visions. There's no open, say with him, no open vision. Well, at that time that you serve, Elisha was called to serve Elijah, Timothy was called to serve Paul, Joshua was called to serve Moses. Are you guys with me? And so it goes. So, but at that time of serving, there was no open vision. Are you with me? Let's do the next verse. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was a lad, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax, his eyes began to go dim, Eli, his time was getting over, that he could not see. Next verse. And the lamp of God went out by the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Samuel the boy was sleeping. Next verse. That the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered and said, "Here am I." Next verse. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. I didn't call you. Go lie down again." And he went and lay down again. Next verse. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I." Listen to this. God called Samuel, but he thought it was Eli. Eli was Samuel's spiritual father. You must get into such a relationship with your oversight that when you hear the voice of God, you hear the voice of your oversight. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When it comes to fatherhood, when your father speaks, it's like God speaking. When God speaks, it sounds like the sound of your father. Many people are not in submission. They're not in a place where God can work with them. Therefore, they cannot hear the voice of God. I'm going to say it again. They're not in a place where God can work with them. And they cannot hear the voice of God. So, and he answered, "I called you not, my son." So we see that Samuel was Eli's son. Are you with me? Go and lie down again. Next verse. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. Listen, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. When you are at a place of serving, I spoke about the call of God this morning, and we have preparation time. We have a time when God cuts you off and he pulls you unto to sanctify you, to draw you close to him, which means that instead of going out with your friends and doing all these things, you begin to spend time with him. But during this time that it's preparation time and you're serving in a church, you're serving in a ministry, you are serving, you're called to serve a man still. Are you guys with me? And if you don't like it, you don't have to, it's fine. There are a lot of churches around us, you can go there. So it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. Next verse. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Listen. When I was serving Pastor Mark as a son, I had visions, I had encounters with God. But until God spoke to him to tell him that I am called, God spoke to Eli. Eli perceived, but wait, the Lord is calling this boy. Are you guys with me? And when we planted the church, I remember I sent Pastor Mark an email and I said, "Listen, this, I had this encounter. An angel came to me." I said, "And you know, I've said let's plant a church, but I submitted to you for your blessing. If I don't get your blessing, we won't plant the church." God, I had to speak to him. It's the ordained order of heaven. Are you with me? And if that encounter was not true, he would have not approved it. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. You open the next verse. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down. Okay, you can stop there. Please take a note that Samuel was in the same church, the same temple where he served with Eli. From the place where he was called in his preparation season to entering into ministry, he was in the same place. Problem with Christians is we go from here to there, to there, to here, to there, and we try to get God's calling for our lives. 10, 15 years later, nothing is happening. Get yourself rooted and planted in a fruitful soil where you know the leadership hears God. I'm a little bit stupid, but if God prophesies in a place, if his word is in this place, that means his voice is here. in the Garden of Eden, it says that the voice of the Lord was walking in the midst of the garden next to Adam. The voice of the Lord. How can the voice of the Lord walk? That means it's the word of the Lord that was walking. Who's the word? So Jesus was walking in the garden with Adam, which means that if the voice of God is here, Jesus is in this place. When you receive impartation from this place and you're out in the school or at your workplace or wherever you are, impartation is simply boldness, knowing, but wait, I sow into this ministry. I am in relation, I have impartation. Listen. If I walk to that place, I carry the DNA, it has to happen. It is that boldness that makes you see or that makes the sick healed. Okay? I know it's too much for some. Some is like, they thought they, in thought they like, I can check. It's okay. This is meat. Say it's for me. Okay. Let's go to... So take that Samuel went, stayed in the same place. Like I said, get rooted somewhere. Get in a place where the presence of God is. Where is, for God so work out all things together for the good to those who love Him. Because he read his Bible completely in the first 2 months. For God works out all things together for the good to those who have called Him, who are walking according to the purpose of God. But then it goes on and it speaks of only to those who are called. Are you with me? Predestined. Justified. So first it says foreordained. Predestined. Justified. Glorified. And we're going to get into it now. You'll see that the calling of God is upon you. And I'll show you to know if you're called or not. And if you listen with a spiritual ear, you will hear every person that's sitting in this place has a call of God upon their lives. Are you with me? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. Lanzada na mazungu. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26. 1 Corinthians, oh, it's loading. Okay. I'm just waiting for the scripture. I want you to see it. Just go help him. I feel a very strong prophetic anointing here tonight. I want us to tap into it, push into it. Let him reveal the secrets of our hearts tonight. Okay. For you see your calling. Say with your calling. For you see your calling, brethren. Just put on for me New King James. I just want to see something. Is that on? Put on for me NIV. Just want to see something. I'm just looking for a specific word. It's actually this one. Okay, let's read in the NIV. Listen, I'm not a fan of NIV, but let's read from here. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. You know, in the King James it says, for you see your calling, which means that, listen, the Bible speaks to you. You see, you say, when I was called. That means God called you. It's not a question whether to find out if He called me or not. He called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were say with me wise. Say with me influential. Not many were of noble birth. Say with me noble birth. Listen. That means he's saying, listen here. God is calling those who are unwise. God is calling those who are not influential. I don't know if you're influential if you're sitting here. I don't think so. Otherwise, we would know of you. And, okay. So you're not influential. Wise. God is saying, if you're wise, I have not called you. If you're influential, I have not called you. We have seen young people. When I say rich, I will tell you rich. Okay, the anointing is so strong upon their lives. And they'll just leave God within one day like this, just like as if nothing has happened. God does not call the influential. You'll see there's not many millionaires here, okay? By let the poor say they're rich so you can say you are rich. But you will see millionaires come out of this place. It is few. Why does God do that? Because if you're unwise and you're called and you become wise, you get the wisdom of heaven. When you become influential after he has called you, you will still stay in church. But when you are there without God and he calls you, you think that you can do it on your own. That's why God is saying, listen here, those who are unwise, I have called them. Those who are not influential, I have called them. Those who are not noble of birth. You were not born in linen and a silver spoon in your not noble of birth, not royalty, not born with royalty. Those are those who I have called. That's why you will see there are many actors. There's people that, many people will get these actors saved, and it's all good, I believe they're saved. But then churches make a mistake, and they put them on the pulpit. It's happening now again. They put them on the stage. And then within a year, they flitter out. God has not called those. And when I say we have seen rich just leave like this, boom. That they were anointed. Because they were thinking, oh, God didn't do this. I did it on my... No. Anyway, where are we? Go to the next verse. But God chose the foolish things, foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So God calls, number one, say with me, the unwise. Say with me, not noble. Say with me, foolish people. These are the people that God calls. God chose the weak things. Say with you, the weak things. Is there anybody who has a weakness in their lives that is sitting here? Okay? That makes you a candidate for the call of God. You might say, but I smoke. I'm battling. I fall into alcohol. Everything. I'm battling with this. Listen, it's a weakness. Just because you have that thing, it tells me you are called. God does not call anybody without a weakness. When Jacob encountered the face of God, the Bible says his hip was out of sock and God left it and Jacob walked with a limp. God wanted to show him, listen here, let that weakness stay there so that when power comes, when influence comes, that you will remember me, that you will know this is not out of your own strength. Okay, listen. Weak things of the world to shame the strong. Next verse. God chose the lowly things. Say with you, the lowly things. Lowly, which means it's like lowly, I don't know. You just, like me, were born a nobody. You never think you're going to make it in life. And God is like, the call is on that one. Not somebody who life has been easy for. Life has been E. No. So if you fall into this category, say with me, lowly. And then it goes on, it says, of his world, and the despised things. Say with me, despised things. When I got saved, my friends despised me. My family despised me because I was too on fire. I had to choose between my family or God, and I chose God. And now my family is getting saved and my own mother is in the church. But if I never done that, she would not be saved now. I chose to reject the despised things and the things that are not. Say with you, the things that are not. That means if you are not rich, if you're not influential, if you have not great impact, or you don't have a big name out there, that's the thing that God calls. If it feels like they say not, there's nothing in your bank account, God has called you. Because, you'll see why, listen. The things that are, next verse. Say with me, so that no one may boast before him. The other translation says, so that no one may take the glory. God has chosen certain people. Say with these words, say the not wise. Say the not mighty. let me say, another word is not influential. Say not influential. Say not noble. Say the weak, the lowly, the despised, the not so. These things, if you fall into this category, it means you're candidates for the call of God, that you've been qualified. God does not call the qualified, but He qualifies the call. If you fall in this category, the call of God is upon your life. Say with me, the Almighty. The Bible doesn't say the mighty. It says the Almighty in the book of Psalms that has called you, that power belongs to Him. The Almighty, imagine that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the everything, the one who inhabits eternity, the one that is the great I am. That there's no beginning, no end in Him. Time is in Him. He is not in time. That He has a specific calling upon your life. And this is what people don't understand. And if you find yourself coming to God and you're running and you're backsliding, and you find yourself coming back again and you're backsliding, you find it's because there's a calling upon your life. Are you with me? You think it's other way around. No. It's because there's a calling. Beware of those who backslide and they don't care. They just never go to church. There's no calling on them. Are you with me? So that we may not take the glory for ourselves. God is saying, I'm calling these type of people so that I may have the glory. Because if the unwise become wise, He will have the glory. If the uninfluential becomes influential, He will receive the glory. And you will still stay in church. You will know this is God that has done this thing. Are you with me? Listen. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Let's go to verse number 30. Let us adore. And let me see how I can do this thing. Put me on verse number 28. Listen. The lowly things, the despised things. If you look at King David, his own father rejected him and put him on the backside of the desert. That even when Samuel the prophet, the Bible says not one of his words fell to the ground unaccomplished, fell to the ground. That when he would come to town, everybody would stand on alert. And he came to the town of David and he came to the house of Jesse. Jesse has all his sons standing there except David. And the whole time Samuel would look at one of the brothers and say, surely the Lord has called this one. And God says, no, I've rejected him. Because Samuel would look at how tall the guy is. The same mistake he made with Saul. Samuel made a mistake with Saul. Okay? And the Bible never said he was anointed as the king of Israel. It says he was anointed as captain. So that's where the mistake came in. So he was looking at Saul. And because the Bible says Saul was a shoulder height above everyone. He was the most good looking. He looked noble. He looked royal. And Samuel was like, I'm going to choose this one. When God came to David to anointing the real king of Israel, when Samuel was looking at the brothers, and Samuel was like, it must be this one. Surely the Lord has anointed this one. And God says, no, I have rejected this one. Basically, Samuel, let's not make the same mistake that you've done with Saul. Let's choose the right one day. And then the Bible says, for God does not see as man sees. For God looks upon the heart. And the next one. And then Samuel said, maybe this one. Surely it's this one. No, the Lord has rejected him. Until he finished with everyone. And you would think that David's father would have David in that place. Knowing that the prophet that comes to town, a whole city will stand still when Samuel would come to town. And David's father purposely put him to the back because he favored his sons. But God says, the lowly things, the weak things, the things that are despised, if you were put away, listen, even if your family didn't believe in you, it's a qualification that you are called of God. And he says, no, but you must have another son here. because I don't see any of these called. They might have the characteristic, they might have the qualifications, they might look like the part, fitting the part, but the anointing of God is not upon them. And David was there looking after the sheep, and he was anointed, and then he went out to the battlefield. When he got to the battlefield, his brother said, "What is this arrogance in your heart that you would come here to the battlefield thinking that you can do this thing?" He was despised until the anointing showed up. Are you guys with me? When he took out Goliath, a young, small shepherd boy, but called of God, in one day, he married the daughter of a president. He became best friends with the son of a president. He was given land and chariots and silver and gold in one day. You must understand that the call of God is upon your life. And you cannot rejoice in this thing if you are noble, because then this is a sad message for you. I understand. But I believe for our people here at ECC, it is a good message. We sing, "I am royalty," because we are royalty. Not because of what man did when we were born, but because of what our identity is. Are you with me? Listen. Go with me to Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, listen, I've seen people. It doesn't, everything just keeps going wrong in their lives. They lose a job here, they don't get money here. Nothing that they do works out. It is because they are not in the calling of God. They are not in His will. When you know that you are called to be a businessman, you must face everything to follow that. But if you know you're called to be an evangelist or a prophet or a pastor or to plant a church, put everything. The problem is what people do. They still have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then, you know, trying to do the will of God. No wonder nothing goes right. But when you're walking in the purpose, the will of God for your life, you'll see only those who go into ministries who give up everything. I'm going to say it again. Only those who go into ministry are those who give up everything. I have not come here by mistake. It was not by accident. Many of you haven't known me before I came here. It was not by accident. It was a life of 10, 14 years where continually I have given up everything, every security blanket, everything. When we would pack our bags and move and give everything away and go into a place where we didn't even know what to do or what to say, we have given up everything. No option B, no option C, no inheritance. Are you guys with me? But when I'm in the will of God, when I'm in the calling of God, all things, say with me, all things. That means every sin, every weakness, every job that you've lost, every attack, every bad thing that has happened to you. Say with me, all things. Every mistake you have made, every wrong decision you have made, all things. God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Do I have people that are called in this place? That means that all things work out together for your good. Next verse. Listen. For those God, say with you, foreknew. Say with you again, say foreknew. That He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's fine, but I want you to remember the word, say with you, foreknew. Next verse. And those He predestined, so with He predestined, He also called, so with He called. Those He called, He also justified, so with He justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now people don't understand this verse, because it confuses them. They think it's pre-election, they think it's this or that. Let me just bring you a little bit of a clarification. So with He foreknowledge. Now if you know that you're called, the Bible says, you know your calling, brethren. In another place in the book of Peter, it says, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You are a called. Are you guys with me? A people. You are called, the calling, your calling. Make your call and your election sure. Now when you know I am called, what happens is you need to now find out what you are called to be. Are you with me? That is called foreknew. For God foreknew them. There was a foreknowledge. I spoke to you about the foreknowledge a few weeks ago, which is the word epignosko, which means a preordained knowledge. Jeremiah, the Bible says, the book of Jeremiah, that God says, even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I've called you as a prophet. When Jesus came to the wedding, and he came to the wedding, and there was no wine. His mother Mary came to him and said these words and said, Jesus, we ran out of wine. But if you read that chapter, you'll see that this was the beginning of miracles. Up to that point, Jesus did no miracle. How does his mother know to come to him and say, please, we don't have any water. We don't have any wine. Can you give us some wine? How did she know that he worked no miracles up until then? Are you guys with me? It was the beginning of his miracles. Even Jesus said, listen, woman, this is not my time. And she still disobeyed him and told them to get water pots. And they brought it through and he did the miracle. But she tapped into a foreknowledge that when she was pregnant with him, when she conceived Jesus, that it was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that an angel visited and said, you carry the Messiah, you carry the Redeemer on the inside of you, and his name shall be called Jesus. She had that foreknowledge and knew, but no, wait. Because of what happened there, and listen, we must get out of our minds that Mary knew he was the Son of God and all this stuff. Get it out. This is a natural thing. Like many, there's some parents here that you might have just had a dream or had an encounter with God, and you knew that when your child was born that this child is going to work for God. That's what Mary encountered. An angel spoke to her, but when you get into angels, when you get into visions, it is very dim depending on the wording that is used. It can be very vague. It can be very surreal. But it's not like she knew he is the Son of God and we must... No. If you study the background, he was a normal kid. She was getting upset with him even when he was young. If you study history, this is now not inspired, God-breathed Bible. It's the historical documents of Jesus' life where the spies, where Pontius Pilate would send out spies to go look upon and write journals of his whole life. That his mother would even get upset with him because he doesn't wanted to wear the clothes that he should have worn. It was a normal life, but she had a foreknowledge. That when she came to him, she said, but listen, I know because of what the angel said to me, because I had an encounter with God. Now God is saying, listen here, there's a foreknowledge about every person that is sitting here. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, even before you were a thought in your father and your mother's head, God has already ordained you. He has called you and he has set your whole life out like a blueprint. So the first thing you need to get is foreknowledge. Am I called to this? Am I called to that? Am I called to this? Now what happens when you get the foreknowledge, there's a predestination that takes place. Say with you, predestined. I want to hear you. Say with you, predestined. The predestination means that God is saying, when this person is getting into their call, when they walk in the purpose, they are called as a businessman or a minister or this, that when they walk in there, I will, let's say you're called to be planting a church, that when Leon gets to that city there, there'll be those people that'll provide there. Then the church will move to there, then there will be a certain type of people that'll provide for the ministry there. Then I'll open up a building there and they'll get into that building there. Even though there's complaints and this and sound and that, but there's a predestination. When I'm walking into his will, it is not things I have to make it work. It comes into play because it's already planned out. So when you have a foreknowledge, you are now predestined, which means that everything is predestined for your path from here right until the end. That's when you know it doesn't matter what attack the enemy throws against you. Then it says the predestined is also called. So when you know you're called, then he says the called is justified. That is when God is saying, okay, but wait, you have this weakness. You have this problem in your life. You have this and you have this weakness. Let me bring in my strength on the opposite. So I am justifying. Salvation is also coming into the fact of justification. Are you guys with me? And the justified, he has also glorified. Meaning, if you know that you are called, if we start in the middle, if you know, only thing you know is the Bible says, know your calling. That you were not called. This means that God is saying, okay, wait, I am called. which means that there must be a foreknowledge about me. When I know the foreknowledge, there's a predestination about me. That if I make my decision right, everything will work out for me. Now I know I'm called. Now I'm being justified. My weaknesses are being replaced with strength. But then there's a glorification. That is when you become a testimony. And everybody sees your glorification. They see the purpose. Now you become a big business person or a big minister. Or you go on TV or you become influential. But everybody is seeing your glorification. The glory that is upon you. But they don't know the predestination, the foreknowledge, the calling that you have gone through. Are you guys with me? Come on, just raise your hands. Raise your hands to the Lord. Wherever you are, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Father, may every single person under this anointing tonight, may your spirit, may the prophetic pierce them. May the prophetic minister to them. May there be supernatural breakthrough. May everything that limits them, everything that resists them, I take authority and I break its power. May the prophetic be released upon their lives. May the power of God be released upon their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, give him a praise offering, church, and rejoice. Come on.